So right now, Aaron is taking my COVID baby, Sasha, for a walk. My wife, Sarah, is taking Eden, who probably also has COVID, but is negative, but has a high fever. I'm coming out of, I probably have COVID, but there's nothing compared to the month and a half we just had moving to a new place, this enormous dysregulation that dropped into our family, particularly with my eldest. So he's been sleeping like a few hours a night for a month and a half, very distraught, crying. This whole thing around this is all relevant to the practice I'm about to teach. I'm giving a personal context. This is, it was a lot of it was around me. He got super attached to me in the past year because we had the new baby, and at a certain point, Sarah, she was pregnant with the baby, couldn't breastfeed them anymore. So it became this all about dad. Any parents here probably, you know, it goes back and forth between the different caregivers. So, and now what was interesting is he's an interesting little guy, my Eden. He's probably neurodiverse in some way, for sure. Maybe a little on spectrum, or kind of, it's still early, but we're figuring it out. Anyway, he has these intense fixations. And he got very fixated on being near me. I was sort of his everything. So at night, if when I would try to put him down, he would not be able to fall asleep when I was there because he was too excited. So he just kept staying up later and later and getting more and more cracked out and crazy. So we'd end up in these hours long trying to go to sleep where he's not sleeping. And then he'd fall asleep. And then he'd wake up 2 hours later screaming for dada. I'd come in, I'd be in there for hours. Basically, nobody was sleeping in the house. And then meanwhile, he'd be waking up Sasha'd be waking up Eden. You can imagine, this is probably tedious to non-parents, but what it amounts to is a kind of apocalypse for the person who's in it, because you're not sleeping more than literally 3 or 4 hours a night for everyone. Maybe Sasha's getting a bit more because he would just conk out. And then that has a cumulative effect on the mental health of everybody. So that's kind of been our world. And it's really interesting from a point of view of practice, because I just do not have, I haven't had a, because I'm working full time too. So I haven't had a minute to do my seated practice the way I normally do. What I get is, if I'm lucky, kind of 5 minutes in the morning before the kids wake up where I can sit and sort of get present. And then I'm continually, of course, trying to apply it through the day. So I've been thinking a lot about practice and how it can support us in these intense times, because it has been a huge support. There's no way I could have gotten through this without, I mean, there was one mental health emergency where I ended up in a mental health emergency room to try to see a psychiatrist to figure out what could support me. That was like 6 months ago, and because it got that bad. But overall, the cumulative skills I've learned from meditation and my ability to kind of tap into the moment, there's no question they have been what's gotten me through it. I know Sarah would say the same. So what are the skills that really can support us? I mean, my focus and practice has gone from trying to alleviate my own suffering and being interested in the end of suffering and transcendence and awakening and all those things. Now I'm just interested in presence. I'm interested in ending the suffering of my kids. And the way I do that is by being completely present and being as little as being as non-reactive as possible when they're going off. And there are two things that support that I can see. There's a seated practice in stillness, which we're going to explore now. And we'll explore what it is about seated practice that helps us with presence. And then there are the applications in the moment. And we'll explore that at the end of this set. And then we'll have an exploration about it together as part of a discussion. And then we'll go into a final meditation that'll bring it together and add some of the self-compassion piece. As far as in the moment, you know, or sorry, as far as in the seated practice, it's really the concentration and the equanimity. The concentration creates this kind of grounded stability. It's an opportunity to just get simple in the mind. So just to focus on one simple thing as a way to ground and focus and settle the whole nervous system, which creates this quality of kind of grounded presence. But it's equally, the equanimity is equally important, because the equanimity is the not creating new rounds of reactivity and resistance that create more unsettledness. So you have the grounding from the concentration, and you have the opening from the equanimity. That's really like a not pushing and pulling. It's a kind of a hollow emptiness of not letting any reactivity land. So they would, in yoga, they would say you create no new karma. In Buddhism, they would say there's a kind of burning clean or a purification. So nothing can, it's like no trace listening, no trace sitting, nothing, less and less lands. So you practice this in this container, this monastic container of a precious half hour or 25 minutes. And it's training and teaching the nervous system how to find that in more context outside that. And it's so, so valuable to have the seated practice, because it's much harder to connect to this in life when that's not there. So that's how I see primarily the seated practice. And we can unpack that together after, if you like. And then there's the applying in the moment, which again, we'll speak to after. So let's do this settling presence grounded thing now for you and for everyone in your life, because this is part of your bodhisattva vows, whether you've taken them formally or not. And it's a privilege for me to guide all of you in this, in my basement here. Oh, I see there's Aaron. That's my little guy, Sasha. Probably not falling asleep. Good luck, Aaron. Hopefully she got a load of presence going from the existing meditations. I don't know my bell, so I'm going to offer up this brain and do a symbolic squeezing of the brain to start this practice. So ding dong. It's going to set a timer here. Okay. Everybody hear me okay? Okay. So eyes can be open or closed. It's really what makes you feel comfortable. If they're open, probably looking at the ground in front of you, something simple, almost as if you're looking through the scene, although the external visual space can be very grounding. Some people prefer the eyes open, just it makes them less daydreamy. If they're closed, see if you can also relax the eye muscles, as strange as that sounds. Like you want to imagine your eyes are kind of sinking back a little more in their sockets, resting. See, deliberate slow breaths. On the exhale, it can be the opportunity to breathe out tension, to soften the worry lines of the forehead, the jaw, and the shoulders. And I like to imagine a snow globe that's been stirred up. It's slowly settling. You get that clear view of your pine tree, plastic pine tree, and little Mountie. That's your body. And what's settling is the subtle agitation, the little bits of habitual reactivity, little bits of tension. And we're patient about that. There's no, can't rush to get settled. It happens in its own time. there are twin skills we are exploring here, whatever your metaphor, qualities of attention. The first is the equanimity. This is really the non-reactivity, the lack of pushing and pulling on anything. So my cue for finding that is just, can I be genuinely open to all the sounds in my environment? So I'm not braced against them. I'm not uptight about imperfections. There's a kind of breathing out and loosening through the front of the body. Any sounds that are there, they're just passing through. There's nothing for them to catch on. They're just so open. This is the same with internal sensations, the thoughts that rise and fall, the physical sensations of discomfort and hunger, tension, pressure, energy, of course, feelings too. We're not going to fight with anything in our experience. Let all that be there. That's just what's here. So there's a kind of practical, grounded sanity to this dance. And the other piece is the concentration. So that's a good place to go now, to choose a simple home base. Maybe the feeling of the body making contact with your seat. Maybe the air on the skin. Maybe the breath. Maybe sounds. You just choose something and you let it be a home for your attention. Kind of sinking into it, appreciating the simplicity. And I'll come back in a little bit. Patience What is the name of the game? Take it with a concentration. Mine wanders. You know, thoughts still have some momentum. You notice you come back. In a good-natured way. Recommitting. Just this beautiful opportunity to get simple. Feeling the sensations and hearing the sounds. Well, it's totally normal if there's still agitation, jumpy thoughts. This is part of what's here. As best as possible, we kind of let that be in the background. In the foreground, we commit to some really simple sound or sensation. One of the tricks here is getting very still so we can notice more subtle qualities in the sensation, the softest, quietest parts of sounds and feelings, kind of moving delicately into that. It's like tasting this nourishment, the quiet, the stillness, and it can be there even with other activity. Kind of tune into it. There are thoughts and objections, opinions. It's okay. Just don't. The equanimity is letting those move on through, not feeding them. Just being a body in the senses. In the world. There's a kind of slow gathering in meditation from all the edgy, buzzy strands out on the periphery, the half thoughts, the bits of reactivity, the swirliness. It all starts to get drained out and collect, recollect into a simpler center. And we can kind of feel it in the body as we breathe out, feeling the presence fill up. Patient, unhurried. I want to explore this quality of physical grounded embodiment here a little more deliberately. I'm going to invite you to notice your feet, contact with your feet on the ground if you're sitting in a chair or sofa. And if you're on a meditation cushion or you're fold it up, you can still really notice the feet, the bottom of you. And it's like we're going to fill the vessel up from the bottom, like we're filling you with sand. So just notice the sensation of having feet. As soon as we put attention in some place, it can start to get a little more rich and textured. There's something to notice now. feeling the ankles, and really feeling both. As you're doing this, also noticing a space between the feet. It's easier to do if your feet are separated, but even if they're folded, that's the same principle, noticing the feet and the space between the feet. And then moving up to the shins. Not necessarily abandoning the feet, they're still there a little bit. It's like you're moving up, but keeping connected to the bottom. Noticing the space between the legs as you move up to the knees. Noticing the thighs. A feeling of the maybe the air or the clothes on your skin there, the weight of the muscle, big muscle of the thighs. It's like we're slowly building up from the ground up into the hips. There's a kind of liquidity in the hips you can tune into. Space in the pelvis, including still your feet, your knees, the space in between. Moving up to the belly. Taking your time. Feeling the seat there underneath the navel, there's a kind of potential solidity there. Centering as we're now orienting to the spine. Moving up through to the chest, the whole lower part of our body, our belly, our chests are sort of submerged in a tension, feeling the weight of everything, the space that's displaced by your bodies. And just complete whatever you need to complete here. You can wrap up over the shoulders and the head and the arms. And we'll just sit here, being a body, feeling the presence of being a body, still with the equanimity. Now the thing we're primarily opening to is body sensation, the spaciousness of the body. The weight. but we're going to make a slow transition to opening the eyes, but it's a little different. I'm going to keep the practice going. We're not at the end of the meditation yet. Sort of tune in, keep your attention a little bit on the sense of your feet and the sense of space in the lower body. And then as you slowly open your eyes, see if you can stay in touch with that as the visual world begins to enter your experience. And this is another piece here. So if you're looking at the screen or wherever you're looking, can you make, just notice, it might be easier if you're not looking at the screen, actually. If you're looking at a scene or looking at anything, but just notice when you're still aware. So stay aware of your feet, of the lower part of your body. And see if you can notice when you're looking, how that changes the experience of looking. To have a little bit of your attention still in your body. Something I've noticed, and I've heard other teachers of different modalities talk about, is when you stay connected to your body, particularly the more grounded lower part of the body, the visual system is more allocentric than egocentric, meaning it's more receptive. There's less a sense of all of you going out, losing yourself in the world, or hyper-focused on some part, but it's more like the world's coming to you. So just trying that now, if your eyes aren't open yet, what's the experience for you of looking around your space while still conscious of the feeling of being a body? This is one of the key tools for me in not being overwhelmed by other big emotions from my kids, or can I stay in contact with a sense of my own body? And when I do, I find I can be much more present, less likely to get blown apart. All right, my friends. That's the end of the practice. I'd ring a bell now. Bit different. We have a weird ending, but I wanted to try to give folks a sense of, first of all, that contrast of going from eyes closed, meditating into the actual world. And you can stay connected, if you like, through this sharing to the sense of your body, feeling of sensation there. Especially the lower part of the body. It's sort of like we're texturing awareness with a sense of ground. And of course, the obvious thing to say here is lots can come up in the body. Sometimes staying connected to the body is very hard to do, or not what we want to do in the moment, but this is what we're exploring right now.